The man that came to Jesus in that account, we know as the rich young ruler, had a great attitude. He asked one of the most important questions, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." And then when the man said, "Which ones?" Jesus listed 5 of the 10 commandments and then said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Turn with me this evening to Leviticus chapter 19. I want to explore that statement of what it means to love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, sometimes when there are sporting events, we remember who the winner was, but I don't know about you, sometimes I forget who the runner-up was. I remember who got first place, but can you name the second place person? You know, who won the Super Bowl, but then who did they play? Well, who was it that they played? Or someone crosses the finish line first, who was it that came in second? That usually is not reported. And I think about that with regard to what we often call the second great commandment. And we'll be looking at that in just a minute, where Jesus talks about the great commandments. The first one is, love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. And we talk about that a lot, and we hear sermons about that. But what about the second one? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Have you ever remembered who won first place, but you can't remember who wins second place? I want to talk this evening, especially since we just went through recently the book of Leviticus in chapter 19 and verse 18, where God, through Moses speaking to the Israelites, "Thou shalt not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Jehovah." I want to talk this evening about what does it mean to love our neighbor as ourself. You know, when you look at this particular commandment, you see that it is a part of what we commonly describe as the holiness code. And in the first 17 chapters of Leviticus, there is the way to God through different sacrifices. And then 18 through the end of the book, our walk with God, or Israel's walk with God, how to be holy. This is the part of the book of Leviticus. It's been mentioned earlier, but also again where God says, "Be holy as I am holy." And when you look at a lot of these laws, starting in chapter 18, there's a lot of thou shalt nots. And we might begin to look at those things and think that all of it was just don't do things. For example, chapter 18, verse 19, "And thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness." Chapter 18, verse 24, "Defile not yourselves in any of these things." Chapter 19, verse 11, "You shall not steal." Verse 13, "Thou shalt not oppress thy neighbor," and so forth. And you start reading down through all of this and you're thinking, well, it was just a bunch of thou shalt nots. And there are a lot of them. But there are also some positive commandments of things that they were to go out and do in a good and positive way toward their fellow man. And verse 18 is one of those. Love thy neighbor as thyself. What does that mean? What does that involve? I believe the place to begin is to understand that neighbor here and in the New Testament really involved everyone. It wasn't just simply the Israelite. It was the Israelite and the sojourner. And when we get over into the New Testament, it's the Christian and the person out in the world that you're going to work with this week or do other affairs with this week. It's the person at the grocery store. It's the person at the bank. It's the person where you do business or go about your daily activities. How are we supposed to treat that individual? And as we're going to see later, it's also those of us in the church. How does this play out in the local congregation? I thought it would be good to look at the second greatest commandment. and remind ourselves how we treat one another and how we treat those around us. And as we're going to see later in the lesson, it hits close to home even in the matter of marriage. Do you know of any marriages that are on the rocks? Do you know of any marriages that are headed toward divorce? That can be solved if we would love our neighbor as ourselves. So I hope this evening we'll understand that these things are very personal and practical, and I hope to give some personal and practical ways in which we can carry this out in our lives to be better Christians in God's sight. In Leviticus 19 and verse 18, we read, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Jehovah." The Hebrew ahab, love, or the agape, is not simply self-esteem. Through the years, this particular passage has been used by various individuals to talk about how that you love other people because you really have a high esteem of yourself. I think it involves that, but we're going to see this evening that it's certainly more than that. It's actively treating others like you treat yourself. How do you treat yourself? How do you treat yourself in any given situation throughout the day? How do you treat yourself? However, how you treat yourself, that's how we're to treat others. It's similar to Jesus' statement in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Treat others the way you want to be treated. It's very similar to that. But how do you treat yourself? How you treat yourself is how God wants you to treat others. And you can see that this would be very difficult, wouldn't it? You know, there are some commandments in God's Word that I find easy. Do you find any of the commandments in the New Testament easy? Yeah, there's commandments that are easy. This one I think would be a little bit more challenging. I just speak for myself. It's easy, for example, the command to sing. I have no problem with that. I do that all day long. And there are commandments that God wants us to do, and we just sort of carry those out. We really don't think about it. And then there's others that challenge us. Are we really doing what God wants us to do? And so I believe I would put that, at least for myself, in that category. Always treat others the way you treat yourself. And then that brings us to my next point. Throughout the day, do you stop and think about how you treat yourself? No, it's just instinctive. It's almost like second nature. When you're hungry, you get something to eat. When you're tired, you go to sleep. When you want emotional help, you want courage, you want peace of mind, you do what you need to do to take care of that. You don't sit down and think about it. You just do it. It's instinctive. It's in you. And this is getting at the heart of this command. When we're dealing with others, we're just supposed to instinctively treat them the way we would just instinctively treat ourselves, both physically and emotionally. We're going to look at some examples here in just a minute. But before we go any farther, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We have to make a qualification. There's a difference between loving your neighbor as thyself, what we might call loving others as you have love for yourself, and being lovers of self. There's a difference. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 2, at the top of the list of grievous or terrible times that are going to come, men shall be lovers of self. What's the difference between lovers of self and loving your neighbor as yourself? There's a difference. Lovers of self is selfishness. I put myself first above others. I think of myself and I don't think of others. 2 Timothy 3 is selfishness. Leviticus 19:18 is treating others the way you treat yourself. We treat ourselves well. There are a few people that are maybe struggling with mental issues, and they don't treat themselves well. That's possible, and that happens. But the vast majority, we get up each day, we just treat ourselves well. We take care of our bodies, we take care of our minds, and so forth. Loving your neighbor as you love yourself means treating them the way you treat yourselves. Let's look at an Old Testament example of this. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Do you remember when Saul was on the run from David and David was on the run from Saul, I'll get it right. When David was on the run from Saul, he had slain Goliath, and Saul is jealous of all of that. David has slain his 10,000s and so forth. And Saul wants to take David's life. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan, Saul's son, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Jonathan loved David as Jonathan loved himself. Now look at verse 2. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his apparel, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and it was good in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. The taking of the clothes off of Jonathan and putting them on to David is Jonathan's way of saying, I'm not like Dad. I don't want to kill you. I recognize your worth and your importance. And he may be recognizing that he would be the next king. Some suggest that. But Jonathan wanted David to be preserved, not killed, because Jonathan was self-preserving. We get up each day, we just want to preserve our life. We want our life to live. And so I want David to live. I don't want him to be killed by my father. But the text says that he loved him as his own soul. We treat others the way we treat ourselves, which is in a wholesome and good way. We don't get up and destroy ourselves and hurt ourselves and tear ourselves down. We don't do that. It's just instinctive every day just to take care of whatever comes up. And if it's food, we take care of that. If it's sleep, we take care of that. Whatever it is. That's how we treat others. Or at least that's how we're supposed to treat others. Now, you can see the great value of that, and how that would elevate Christianity over other walks of life. And as we're going to see in just a minute, this is repeated several times in the New Testament. Jesus, we're going to see it in Paul, we're going to see it in James. It elevates us, it raises us up to be different than the people in the world around us. It's a higher standard. It's a more noble way of living. Can you imagine if everyone in the world loved their neighbor as themselves? It would just be you wouldn't even be able to recognize the world that we're in. It'd be so different. The world, as we're going to see in contrast, they mistreat others. They take care of themselves, but then they mistreat others. And we're to live to a higher standard than that. And so you can see that if there were worldly people who didn't want to live by that standard, they're going to try to tear it down. And let me give you an example. In 1930, the great Sigmund Freud, who is described as the father of modern day psychiatry and psychology, wrote a book, Civilization and Its Discontents. I'm told that it is still, even to this day, an undergraduate text for anyone going into psychology and sociology and things such as that nature. In 1930, he wrote this book, and on pages 56 through 92, he set out to show that this commandment is completely wrong. we should not follow this. It's not good for us. We should have no part of it. And listen to the five reasons that he gives for saying that we should not follow this commandment. It's interesting. You'll see this all the time from atheists and agnostics and humanists. They're always attacking the Bible. They know that those values in the Bible help us and elevate us and are good for us. They're always attacking those things because they don't want to live by those principles. And so the first thing they do is attack the Bible. Freud criticized loving your neighbor as you love yourself along five major lines. Number one, he just simply said, it cannot be kept. Well, that's nice. You just dismiss, well, you can't do that. There's no way you can do that. Well, sure we can. Jesus and Paul and James and God here through Moses would never tell us to do something that we can't do. Of course we can do it. But he said, well, it can't be kept. Just summarily dismissed it that way. Number two, he said, its call for treating neighbors with equal love is unjust to those to whom we are tied by special relations. If you go out and love your neighbor as you love yourself, that's unfair, for example, to your own wife who is closer to you or your own children. You're supposed to be treating them better than you just the stranger that walks up on the side of the street. You shouldn't be treating him nice. That's not fair to the people that are close to you. That was his line of reasoning. What about the Good Samaritan that we're going to see about in just a minute? Did the Good Samaritan know that fellow that he ran across? Didn't know him. And yet Jesus said that he loved his neighbor as he loved himself. Number three, Freud said, it ignores the evidence that not all persons are equally worthy of love. Well, that may be true. There may be a lot of unsavory characters out there. But it doesn't say, love certain neighbors as you love yourself. Love only the ones that you think are lovable. It just says, love your neighbor as yourself. And really, isn't that the challenge? Because any of us here this evening could love the neighbor that is lovable. But what about the situation that we find ourselves in that is challenging and difficult, and the other person, we're not on the same page? That's the whole point. We have to do it even in those situations. That's what makes us different from the world. Number four, and I can't get my head around this one. He says, it handles aggression so poorly that it actually encourages hostility toward outsiders. I failed to see what he's saying there. This would discourage hostility toward others. And then number five, it is a source of considerable unhappiness. Well, and with that, he said, we don't need to follow that command. As I'm told, that particular text is used in undergraduate courses on psychology and psychiatry. Teaching people, don't love your neighbor as you love yourself. And we wonder why the world is messed up. Let's turn now to the Word of God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. There are seven places in the New Testament where this text is used, and let's see what we can learn from it this evening. Number one, to love your neighbor as yourself is a foundational principle of all life. Jesus brought it up with regard to the rich young ruler. And in Matthew chapter 22, when he was asked about what is the greatest commandment and so forth, a lawyer comes and tries him or tests him, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Taken from Deuteronomy 6 verse 5. This is the great and first commandment. And a second likened unto this, Leviticus 19 passage, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments the whole law hangeth and the prophets. And I would suggest that he's talking about the old law, but that would be the same for the new law, the new covenant. All that is in the law of God can be wrapped up with loving God with all of our heart or loving our neighbor as ourself. And if we don't get this as a foundational passage and a principle in our life, then we're not going to know how to walk from day to day. We've got to love God with our all and love our neighbor as ourself. It's foundational. Everything hangs on it. Our life hangs on it. Our character, what makes us who we are, hangs on this. How we treat our neighbor hangs on this. It's the foundation to our character. If we cannot treat others the way we treat ourselves, we cannot be what God wants us to be. And there are going to be times, of course, that are challenging and difficult. We easily, instinctively, always care greatly for ourselves. But to do that to somebody else in a situation that is challenging, that's going to divide us and separate us from the world. That's going to make us a different person if we can follow that commandment. That's foundational. And we don't want to find ourselves, brethren, slipping into, and I would be the first to admit that from time to time, I've not always followed that command. It's a command that it's easy to slip into just what the world does with that, and that is mistreat the other person, verbally or otherwise. We can easily just slip into being like the world, but we're to be separate from that. And it's foundational to our character. So how we think about ourselves, that's how we're thinking about this other person right here. Whether it's the street, the post office, Walmart, work, school, whatever. How I would speak to myself, how I would think about myself, how I would treat myself. That's how I need to be thinking and speaking and treating that other person. It starts right after the service when the invitation song's over with, as we work with each other. It starts right in the building. And then when we go get in our car and go home and throughout the week, it's everywhere. And so it's foundational. Jesus said, on these two commandments, the whole law hangs as a foundational hanging principle. And so it forms our character. Or not. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at the second place where this is found. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is talking in the Sermon on the Mount about things that you have heard others say, namely the scribes and Pharisees and their interpretations of the law and their attitudes toward the law. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, Jesus says, you have heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Well, up to that point, they had gotten it right. That's a straight quote out of Leviticus 19. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. But then look at the next part. And hate thine enemy. Oh, wait a minute now. They knew Leviticus 19:18. The scribes and Pharisees, they knew that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. But what they did was they twisted it and distorted it and abused it for their own personal advantage to make it this way. I'll love my neighbor as myself, meaning that there are certain people that I'll apply that to, but my enemies, I'm going to hate their guts. No, that's not what the verse says. The verse says, love thy neighbor as thyself. What if your neighbor is your enemy? You still have to love them as you love yourself. But they were twisting it and distorting it and abusing it to say this verse applies to just people that are lovable, that my friends and people that I like. But this guy over here, I can hate him. And Jesus goes on to say, no, you can't. You're to love them too. So the second thing that we learn this evening is that in this principle of loving our neighbor as ourself, it applies to everyone. And if there is a person who is our enemy. I have to love them as I love myself. I can't go down through humanity and pick and choose who falls under this principle. All humanity does. That's why Freud and others have said, oh, you can't do this. There's no way you can do this. Yes, you can. We can. We must. It's what makes us better. You can see why people would dismiss this type of thing. It allows them to live the way they want to live. Jesus is trying to elevate us. When Jesus says, you have heard, but I say unto you, you know what the Sermon on the Mount is? It's an elevation of character. It's kingdom character. It's making us better than the people around us. It's raising the bar. It's raising the standard. When the world around us is trying to lower it as much as possible. So let's not twist it and distort it to mean only the certain narrow little group that I have. Well, it's going to be my spouse and my kids and my close friends. That's who I'm going to love. But everybody, if you're not in that little circle, buddy, you know, who knows what you're going to get from me? You see? And so Jesus is saying, nope. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Leviticus 19 includes enemies. Let's look at a third place where this is found in the New Testament. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, the well-known story of the Good Samaritan. We're all familiar with this story. Here is where someone challenges Jesus. He was often challenged and questioned, not because these individuals were trying to learn anything. They were just trying to test him. Luke 10:25, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How do you read? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, just like Jesus had said in Matthew 28, and thy neighbor as thyself. And then he quotes Leviticus 19. This is not Jesus, this is the lawyer. And he, Jesus, said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. The third principle that we want to learn this evening is that this command to love your neighbor as yourself should be very personal and practical on a daily basis. It's not to be theoretical and hypothetical. We're to actually go out and practice it in real time. Look at verse 29. But he, the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, he knew that he had not been doing this. He knew that he had not been loving his neighbor as himself. He tried to justify him, said, and who is my neighbor? Now you tell me, Jesus, who my neighbor is, and then maybe we might talk about it. He tried to justify himself that he had not been doing what he should have been doing. And then Jesus tells the story of what we know of, or what we call the Good Samaritan. And there's this priest and Levite who come up on this man that's been robbed, and they walk around him. But the Good Samaritan, just summarizing it, paraphrasing it, comes up and binds up his wounds and takes him in, and he's going to be taken to an inn. And he says to the innkeeper, keep him. He pays some money. Verse 35, take care of him. Whatsoever you spend more, when I come back, I will repay. Look at verse 36. Which of these three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, which of these three do you think proved neighbor unto him that fell among the robbers? Let's take it out of the realm of talk and discussion and get it into the realm of actual daily living where you prove it. And the lawyer said to Jesus, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. So the third principle with this is that we've actually got to be doing it each day and not just thinking about it. It's not some high and lofty and grand ideal that we think about. It's not a sticker on the refrigerator. It's not a plaque on the bathroom wall. It's actually doing it when crunch time comes and the other person is there, my neighbor, I actually do it. The Good Samaritan treated this man the way he treats himself. The Good Samaritan gets up each day and he takes care of himself. He takes care of his body, so he took care of his body. He looks out for his own safety, so he helped him with regard to his own safety. It's very simple. The other two guys, they get up each day and they look out for themselves too, but they're not going to love their neighbor as they love themselves. And so, go and do likewise. Jesus was always very real and practical and personal. Jesus said, which proved neighbor unto him that fell among the robbers. So it must be practiced each and every day for God to see us and look at us and say, this is my child who's practicing this commandment. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Let's learn another principle. When we love our neighbor as ourself, we're not going to mistreat them in any kind of way. Paul, wrapping up a discussion here about civil government in the first 7 verses and supporting that, he says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, the context of writing to Christians at Rome, owe no man anything save to love one another. For he that loveth his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, 4 of what we call the 10 commandments. And if there be any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then look at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Paul, for the first time, puts a negative component into it. He's saying not only what I want you to do, but when you do this, then you will not be doing something else. You will not be working ill or evil to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. So however we're speaking to this person or treating them or thinking about them or talking about them in or out of the church, we're not working any ill toward them. And so we would need to think about that. Are we doing that? And if we're not doing that, if we're not working any ill toward them, then we know that we're on that right track to loving our neighbor as ourself. So love, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the positive, verse 9. And then he turns it around and clarifies it. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. I'm not going to say or do or think anything about this person that's in my presence that is going to work them ill in some way, hurt them in some way. That's a tall order, isn't it? But that's a part of the commandment. With regard to brethren, turn with me now to Galatians chapter 5. This should be practiced in the church, Paul says. There are churches that divide. There are brethren that divide. Sometimes, there have been very few times in my lifetime. If you go back several years, 50, 60, 70 years, you'll find other kinds of divisions that involve doctrinal things. What does the Scripture teach about this doctrine or that? But after a number of churches of Christ, let's say around the 1950s, divided over doctrine. Everybody went their different ways. And let me hasten to add that standing for truth and dividing over those things is good. We have to stand for truth. Division is never good. It's a work of the flesh and so forth. Standing for truth, for right, is good. And when brethren divided over doctrinal matters, those my age and younger grew up in churches that had already made that division. And so I grew up in churches of Christ where those divisions had already been made. And so typically the churches of Christ that I grew up in, there were no doctrinal divisions. Those had been done before. But there were divisions nonetheless. So what were they if they weren't doctrinal divisions? Typically they were over personalities and judgments and opinions and people clashes and so forth. That's what I experienced growing up. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you, and he's talking about Christians in local churches of Galatia, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. So Paul brings it into the local church, where loving your neighbor as yourself will keep you from biting and devouring one another. Obviously, he's talking about division, internal strife and division between members. Loving your neighbor as yourself will keep us from dividing. Loving your neighbor, and neighbor here is the fellow church member. Luke 10, neighbor would be, it could be the fellow church member, but it could also be just the person out in Clarksville somewhere, anybody. Someone who comes to our place of business, somebody that we see at Kroger or whatever. Here, neighbor is fellow church member. And we have to think and speak and talk and act to one another in a way that we're treating the other church member the way we treat ourselves. And we know how we treat ourselves. We know the good way that we treat ourselves. So we treat the church member that way. When we don't, then verse 15 sets in, biting and devouring, and division is inevitable. Let's keep that practice in mind as we strive to be unified and work together at Warfield Boulevard in any local congregation. Any local congregation. Verses 14 and 15 are great verses just to review from time to time on how we get along and we work together. We love our neighbor. We treat the fellow Christian sitting down the pew from us the same way we treat ourselves. And if we're thinking or saying or doing something toward another member of the church that we wouldn't think or say or do toward ourselves, then we would need to stop that. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I mentioned marriage earlier. Two more passages and then we'll conclude. There are marriages that are on the rocks, and including in the local church. And I've mentioned to you before where divorce has stricken even my own family. And it's heartbreaking. It's difficult. But marriages that are on the rocks and marriages that are headed for the cliff of divorce, that could be turned around. That could be stopped and helped. And how would that be? By practicing this commandment. Here, Paul does not quote it. He doesn't quote it. What he does is he refers to the principle of it. So look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28. Even so ought husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies. That's the same thing. Your men, we are loving our wife as we love our own body. It's the same as Leviticus 19. Paul is referring to the principle without quoting it. And if men would love their wives as they love their own bodies, men, all of you here this evening, if I were to ask you, how do you love your own body? You don't sit there and think about it. Well, let me think about that. You can just rattle off several things real quickly as to how you take care of your own body. It's instinctive. It's in us. It's natural. It's just second nature. We don't have to think about it. That's how we're supposed to be treating our wife. And when we don't do that, and maybe sometimes we don't, then we say to them, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I will try to do better. I will love you as I love my own body. Verse 28, he that loveth his own wife loveth himself. That's what we're reading this evening. Love your neighbor as yourself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as Christ also the church. Guys, you get up each day, you know, you get all cleaned up and you shave and you're combing your hair and you put on the aftershave. You're nourishing and cherishing your body, you know, you take care of it. And maybe I need to take care of mine more. Who knows? Maybe I need to exercise more and take care of my own body. But we take care of our own body. Well, we need to be taking care of our wife like we would take care of our own body. It's this principle of loving your neighbor as yourself. No man ever hated his own flesh. And then verse 33. Nevertheless, do you also love each one his own wife, even as himself? That's Leviticus 19. Love your neighbor as yourself. And it's applied here in marriage. And we wouldn't have the marriage problems and difficulties that we see in the world today. And then last of all, turn with me to James chapter 2. Here's another local church setting. The last place where we find this in the New Testament is in an unfortunate situation in a local assembly. We're not told the specific town or the name of this assembly, but it's an assembly of God's people in which some had decided that if you're rich, we're going to treat you nice. And if you're poor, we're going to mistreat you. Verse 2, if there come into your synagogue, literally your assembly, a man with a gold ring and fine clothing, and there come also a poor man in vile clothing, and you have regard to him that wears the fine clothing, and say, sit thou here in a good place, and you say unto the poor man, stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. Do you not make distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, did not God choose them that are poor as to the world, physically poor, to be rich in faith? They're very strong spiritually, and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to them that love him. But you have dishonored the poor man. Remember, this is an assembly of the local church. Do not the rich oppress you and themselves drag you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? Howbeit, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin. This thing that you're doing is a violation of the second great commandment. You're not loving your neighbor as yourself. When the brother or sister in Christ comes in that doesn't have as much as the other person does, you're making him stand over there or sit under your footstool. That is not loving your neighbor as yourself. And so, again, it shows up in a local church assembly situation. So this principle then will keep us from mistreating our fellow brother or sister in Christ. It keeps us treating everyone in the local church fairly and equally. Let's go out this week and love our neighbor as ourself. Just a few words there, but it's a tall order. We can do it. Sigmund Freud says otherwise. His number one reason, it can't be done. No, you can do it. Not only can you do it, we must do it in order to be pleasing to God. As we stand and sing this song of encouragement, the gospel is for all. Can we help you to respond to the gospel invitation to be baptized into Christ or to come back to the Lord in some way? Jesus loved us and died on the cross for us, and we're the recipients of that. He asked us to go out and love our neighbor as ourself. There's a lot of times in which I'm just speaking for myself, where that's pretty easy to do, I would say. But then there's going to be some tense and stressful times, whether at work or other places, where it's going to be hard and challenging. Might be inconvenient. Maybe you're rushing home. Maybe you're busy. Maybe it's a stressful situation. We've got to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Let's go out and practice that and be pleasing to the Lord this week. If we can help you respond to the invitation, why won't you come as we stand and sing?